Hello, fellow Egypts. Welcome to Taranoia. It's me, Tara Flynn, with my own special brand of fear and insecurities. I have Taranoia. Paranoia with a T. I put the T in paranoia. That's how insecure I am. But I figure a lot of us feel that way. We're all Egypts, but we're all doing our best. If you don't know what Egypt is, it's basically me, someone who messes up a lot. It doesn't mean anything more serious than that, really. It's slightly affectionate because we don't want to condemn anyone, do we? Unless someone's trying to do us harm. We don't want to condemn people. We don't want to cancel them. We just want to say, ah, you Egypt, come here and we'll figure this out together. That's the goal of this show. This episode of Taranoia is brought to you by Rental Floss. That's right. Why buy dental floss when it's only going to sit on the sink, reminding you of how many times this week you haven't used it or used it properly? It's half-hearted, isn't it, our attitude to dental floss? So why have it sitting there all the time, taunting you? Why not only have it when you absolutely need it? Rental floss is delivered to your door in pre-cut strips, ready to use when you really want to. Rental floss. It's dental floss for the cool, happening people at the cutting edge of society. Just don't cut your gums. That means you've gone too far. Hey, everyone. It's lovely to have you here. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for everyone who's become a patron in the last while. We don't have a ton of patrons. We'd love more. That would be great. It would be great if this show could sustain itself. And it isn't right now. So if you'd like to subscribe, if you'd like to review, that would be great. So if you don't have the money right now, or you just don't think it's worth paying for, thank you anyway. No, you're still very, your listenership is very, very welcome. But what we'd love is if you could subscribe, review, rate wherever you can and help keep it popping on the old charts. It's so useful. It would just be really brilliant. And if you can, give us a bit of patronage on patreon.com/Tara Flynn IRL. That would be great. Well, I understand if you can't though. Sorry, I was a bit mean about it there. I just had to kind of, I was trying to do the hard sell, like for rental floss. And it just isn't, it isn't really my style. So, as you know, this show is recorded whenever I can record it. And it's not necessarily topical because I don't want to be tied to people having to plug things, or I don't want to be topical. I want to talk about things that are happening generally, but not necessarily this week. It's not a news show. So I don't know when you're listening to this or what will have happened, but I basically had a little bit of health issue where I had to have a biopsy on my face. A biopsy on your face is a bit tricky, especially when you sometimes do on-camera work. So I decided to share me and my Band-Aid on Instagram. I don't know what's going to happen. It might be nothing. It might be absolutely nothing. So I don't want to freak out and I don't want anyone else to freak out. But yeah, I've got a thing on my face now and hopefully it'll heal and go away, but they're testing it and we'll see. So don't be worrying. I'm doing plenty of that for all of us, so you don't be worrying. But if you see me and I have a little thing on my face, maybe don't mention it. Maybe mention it if you like, but you don't have to ask 17 questions about it. That's just rude, because I don't know is the other thing. I don't know what's going to happen. And isn't it exciting? Isn't life full of adventures? I could use a year without adventures now, says you, says I, says all of us. Now, I mentioned cancelling earlier, and that's what today's podcast is about. It's about cancel culture. You know, that thing of calling out someone and then if they you deem them to have done something really bad, then you decide not to buy their stuff, not to follow them on Twitter, to basically put them in a big pit socially. But otherwise, it's about accountability for misdemeanors. It's about deplatforming if someone doesn't deserve a platform. I'd also like to look at slip-ups, minor slip-ups versus major transgressions. What about celebrity passes? Do celebrities get a quicker pass than the rest of us? I'd like to look at forgiveness, but I also want to look at consequences. Should we get a cookie for owning up to something that we should have owned up to anyway? Or do we really need to own it and show that we've owned it and maybe moved on from the transgression or slip up before we get a pass? If we're not the ones who've been wronged, should we even get a say? Let's face it, it's the internet. Everyone's going to have a fucking say. But I'm not sure that they should. Do you have to tweet everything that you think? I'm just not sure about that. You've got the freedom to. You also have the freedom not to. Now, some of the people who tend not to like cancel culture, i.e. boycotting someone who's done something questionable, they turn out to be people with something to hide. Very often. Now, not always, but it's very often the people who stand up and say things like Me Too has gone too far are people with something to hide. Or they say, try to give people passes before they've shown any degree of actual understanding of why people are angry or upset or feel that they might be in danger of harm. Also, what if the transgression, for want of a better word, what if it isn't hidden, but it's out in the open? It's not something that's come to light. It's something that's out in the open. Then usually it's someone who doesn't want any consequences for that transgression. Like, yeah, I did it, but I didn't mean it. And it was ages ago. So they acknowledge that they did it or said it, or that it's a way they used to think, but they haven't shown any movement on from there. And they just want to pretend it didn't happen. Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? Because I believe that if what you do can affect other individuals or groups, that's not going to affect you, but it might have an effect on other individuals or groups, then you have to take responsibility. And if you abuse the trust of a community, say, or an audience that you have, that you're lucky to have, you probably should own up to the transgression and try to show that you've moved past it or that you fully understand why it's wrong. But I want to get this out there straight away. This might surprise some of you because I know some people like to put people in boxes and say calling out, which I often ask people to do, or standing with someone is important. I think that's all very important, but I am not a fan of cancelling. I hate it. I think it's terrible because it's targeting an individual when we're actually talking about an attitude. There should be accountability, but I don't think the person should be cancelled, because otherwise how are they going to learn? I don't think they should get a free pass, but cancelling, that sort of piling on, that glee, that sort of excited bandwagon jumping, I'm not here for that. Now, abuse of power is a huge deal. Power could be social power. It could be physical power over other people. It could be that you're financially set. Money, it's the power is what lets, for instance, it lets rapists get away with serious crimes because lads are back in jobs in seconds, even when it's proved that something really terrible did happen. Judges let them off. Or power is what means that the victims of abuse are rarely believed. Oh, of course he didn't do it. Sure, he's lovely to me. He's a grand lad. Don't forget, abusers and assaulters, they groom communities, not individuals. They're often really charming. Sometimes they even seek out public life. So it's very hard for people to believe. They count on you not believing that they could do a bad thing. Now, I'm actually not going to be talking too much about that more serious physical end of all this because I'm out of my depth there. But it won't always be, I won't always be able to avoid talking about it. I want to be more general. To start, let's say that we're talking about relatively minor mistakes. Now, when you put your head above the parapet at all, at some point you will be criticised. And at some points, a lot of people might join in the criticism. Then you have to ask yourself, is it maybe valid criticism? Or has it been invented in an attempt to cancel you? That's the bit I don't like, the kind of, it's become a blood sport. It's a kind of a witch-burning kind of idea. Not to trivialise witch-burnings, which really happened. And it's important not to use those words in too trivial a way. But words are important. And like the word bullying, when a lot of people criticise, say, a politician, and sometimes it's justified criticism, but they'll say they've been bullied because lots of people criticise. The problem is when you're in public, there are often lots of nice things about being in public, the public eye. You might get rushed to the start of a queue, for instance, or people might support you in lots of ways. Then you'll also be open to mass criticism. Criticism is different to bullying or witch hunting. If you did the thing and it's mentioned, that's on you. That's not on anyone else. No one's whipping that up to beat you with. You did it. Then you need to own it. But like the word bullying has been appropriated in many cases by bullies, people with loads of power. So I'm setting out my stall straight away. I believe there should be consequences for things you actually do or say. But gleeful cancelling? No, I'm not there for it. We have to allow people to fuck up. We have to allow them back into the fold if they've shown that they understand that they fucked up and they've made some kind of reparation for it. I don't know what that looks like, even. It's different for every transgression, but the people who've been wronged need to feel that a genuine step has been made to own up to it, to not a punishment, but a reparation, I guess. A kind of a reaching out to say, I fucked up. I realize I fucked up. How can I make amends? If you just say, I fucked up, forgive me. Well, there's no guarantee that you have learned anything, and I don't think you should get a free pass like that. There has to be a consequence to what can often be a dangerous action. And in terms of actions, not all actions are created equal. If someone has cynically trawled a Twitter feed for an attitude someone held a decade ago, but there's been very little evidence of that attitude since, well, that's just bollocky, isn't it? That's just bollocky behaviour. Especially if the person who's been trawled has subsequently apologised and showed that they get it. Sure, that's pretty much everyone we know. That's me. We're all learning. We're all evolving. Hopefully we're all listening better. And that's why we know how harmful words or jokes can be, even if they don't affect us, even if we don't think they're harmful. We can listen when we're told that they are. So maybe it's just a one-off, ill-chosen, off-colour joke, but the person generally gets on with their lives without shitting on others. I say that's a pass. But has there been violence, actual violence, or the threat of it? Has there, for instance, been sexual assault or harassment? Has there been the use of a platform to advocate that someone outside that person's group is lesser, with no signs of remorse or reforming of that attitude? Well, then I think there kind of have to be consequences, because those are, they're really serious things. Like, we can't have impossible standards, but we have to have standards. And I feel like violence or the threat of it, or a dressing up of threat of violence as civility, that's a red line. Putting your hands on someone, that's a red line. But of course, when people react angrily to violence or the threat of it, even if it's at the extreme end of this example, that's not them taking offence. That's not them disagreeing. Taking offence is a phrase that's been used really effectively to diminish the seriousness of things. Like, you disagree with me, you take offence. No, it's not that. It's not that they don't like the person who said or done the thing, and they're taking offence at what they said. Often they really do still like the person who's done or said the thing, but they can't let this slide. And then there's the people who love performative outrage. They exist. They will cry offence at the drop of a hat. They'll go, oh, this is disgusting. And that's what I'm talking about, that gleeful hopping on to something. Well, they make it harder. They make it harder when someone has a genuine plea for help. So I would say just be, what's the word? Be thrifty. Be thrifty with your jumping on bandwagons. Be thrifty with joining in a mob, especially if you're not directly affected. If you don't have something particular to say, maybe don't say it. I hate when people lose jobs or mobs come and swarm them, even if they've done something wrong. I hate that feeling. It's like maybe they deserve it, in inverted commas. Maybe they so-called deserve it. But I still hate it when that happens. I wish they'd found out or learned their lesson without that having to happen. I don't like people gleefully joining in with that. It gives me the chills. In my opinion, piling on is very different to standing with those affected, because we aren't all judge and jury. We aren't all Judge Judy. No, she's very rich. We can show solidarity by boosting the people affected without calling for the head of the person who's fucked up, because then maybe they'll learn. I don't know. Maybe we won't buy their shit anymore. Maybe things have changed for us now and we don't like the idea of buying stuff from them. That's fine. But I'm not sure we have to drag them through the streets. I also think it's more useful to look at patterns and systems that lead to something like cancelling or who gets a pass than at individuals. So I'm never going to mention any names. So you might have some guesses, but I'm not going to mention names. I don't want to drag people here. I'm not in a position to dole out critiques of individuals. But people, this is the thing. People you know and like, or people you don't know but you look up to, they're capable of seriously bad things. They're not monsters, but they're capable of seriously bad things. Even people that we like, even people that do nice things for us, they're capable of bad things sometimes. You might not see it, but it doesn't mean it's not real. And this isn't new. Don't forget, Satan was God's most perfect angel, Lucifer. Yeah, He seems to have been the original problematic fave. Lucifer was the first owl cancelling. So we've this concept built into the moral code of all kinds of stuff in our society, including religion. It's not a new idea. But that's also why I've said this before, but it's important not to put someone on a pedestal. You dehumanize them by making them perfect in your head, because a person's going to fuck up. We're going to fuck up again. If you put someone on a pedestal, it also makes it harder to believe if they do something wrong. See the good and the bad in everyone, because people are complex. This is the other thing with cancelling. People aren't one act or one word. But again, there are varying degrees of severity in actions and words. And there have to be repercussions if you do something serious. So a celebrity might do amazing charity work, and they still might be an arsehole to minorities and out of the public eye. They may remember every fan's name. They might lavish you with attention when you meet them. But they might be lavishing another kind of attention on someone who doesn't want it. And seriously bad things, or a pattern of seriously bad things without remorse, should, I feel, have some kind of loss attached, some kind of penalty. Maybe not a casting out of the Garden of Eden. Look at me getting biblical. But I would hope they'd volunteer to do a bit of weeding in the garden, maybe. And maybe they shouldn't expect top billing. I'm not saying people should be punished, but we seem to keep rewarding them. We can say, OK, I know more about that person now. I don't like what I'm seeing. I won't support them publicly. I won't buy tickets to their work. We don't have to stone them when we see them in the street, but we can choose not to take selfies with them either. Now, if the person who's done the bad thing happens to be in your life, it's very hard to shut them out completely. They might have been personally very kind to you. People, as we say, are complex. They can be both the person you know and the person who hurts others. You might not be able to erase them from your life, but there is the option to stop signal boosting them. That's still hard. That's still a hard thing to do, because there's a person at the end of it. But you have to find a way to show that you don't condone what they've done. And to the actions speak louder than words people, I would say that maybe going out with an assault weapon looking for someone to kill, that's an action. Even if there have been great charity works done, going out to kill someone with an actual assault weapon more than once, even if you don't end up killing the person, that's an action. And you might need to show real regret for that, especially when you've targeted a particular group. That's another clear action, targeting a particular group. If you regret it later, that is great. And I mean that. We all fuck up. And that's something you probably really definitely do regret. You should. But don't be surprised if you mention it as a red carpet anecdote and the group that you targeted don't think that's enough of a response to what you've just said. Sexual harassment or assault that has been observed by lots of people, even if that's never been your experience of the perpetrator, well, again, it's an action. It's not nothing. It'd be wrong to ignore that information. But nor do you necessarily have to denounce the person from a pulpit, I feel, because then that's just more white noise. I think silence can be really powerful. Now, I have no doubt that the people who lose a privileged platform through their own actions, I have no doubt they feel sad. I have no doubt that some of their sorrow is genuine. Person to person, human to human, I feel sorry for them. But I feel sorrier for the people they've hurt. And it is not my place to give them a pass. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But it's up to the wronged person or group to give it. Only they know what shit has gone down, now or in the past. I wasn't fucking there, so I can't say. I can't cancel anyone, but nor can I give them a pass unless it's something they've done to me. And it's interesting because, especially with the Me Too stuff, there are lads, friends, who will say that we've been duped by the person who's saying that somebody hurt them. I think it's more likely, like we said, that they have been duped by the person who's able to get away with stuff, because you just can't believe that this nice person, nice to your face, always been great to you, could have done something wrong. They could have, but it's only by holding them accountable that anything's going to change. Staying in denial doesn't help.
Do you like listening to podcasts? Well, like, I know you do. This is part of a podcast. I have a podcast. My name's Dave Coffey. I have a podcast called Phoning It In. It's an improvised phone-in show where I have a group of guests and they have no idea what they're about to call in to talk about until I introduce them on the air. It's gas crack. You can get it on iTunes or Stitcher, any of those, anywhere where you get, wherever you got this podcast, you can get my one as well. So it's called Phoning It In. Thanks for listening.
Instead of going into denial and ignoring the people who've been wronged, let's be uncomfortable. We've talked about this before. Let's sit with our discomfort at the fact that the person can be both good and bad. Let's try and figure it out. But yeah, it sucks. It absolutely sucks. And sometimes it's not possible to confront it face to face. And you need to do a particular gig. In acting or in comedy, or you don't want to cause a scene. Or maybe you don't have the energy personally because there are other things going on in your life. Or you don't want to give people a scandal to talk about, because if you raise it, it's going to give more fuel to the fire. That also sucks. Maybe you want to say something, but you can't. There are lots of reasons why people can't. Then I say silence then is a very useful tool. Silence can be powerful. And there are other ways to distance yourself. Like a platform is a massive privilege. Platforming people who've shown no understanding of why their message harms others. That's 100% in 2019, that's irresponsible. All deplatforming is doing is saying, not in my house. Not in my house, fella. Out you go. It's that simple. It's not silencing anyone. You're just saying, no, you can't do that here. You can't take a crap in my hallway. I invited you into my house. You're not allowed to take a crap in the hallway. Out. Out you go. Hear them out, though. Hear out all the terrible, harmful old ideas is exactly what arseholes want. They've been very effective at getting people to let them say, give them a space to say in their house very awful things. But let them go and spout it elsewhere. You're not stopping them going elsewhere. But you don't have to give them a platform yourself. Hear them out is a really slippery slope to all kinds of cancelable shit. Using a large platform, if you have one, if you're that fecking lucky, well, look at you, you social billionaire. Using that large platform to advocate against other people's rights, that's no crack. Saying things like, no matter what rational kind of tone you put on it, saying things like other races have smaller IQs or advocating for enforced monogamy. OK, you won't see those dads on Taranoia. I'm sure they're gutted. Not to come on this podcast, but they can fuck off debating Nazi crap, okay? Bye. Cancelled at a local level. If racism or misogyny or the other big no-nos are not giant red flags to you, listen, well, let's cancel those points we were going to have. Those are red lines for me. I'm not stopping you going to the pub, but just, I don't want to share a booth with you. That's right, a booth. Yep. Fancy pubs. Or pubs in the past. I'm also very wary when people moan about entitlement to bigger platforms. No one's entitled to a platform. No one's entitled to it. That's not something we all get. Not being on one of those is not deplatforming either. It's not silencing. We can't all be on the late late. Thank God, says you. But your Auntie Maureen would never be off if everyone was entitled. Can you imagine? Your Auntie Maureen would never be off the Late Late Show if everyone was entitled to it. And it would never be over. So-called sensible media heads who secretly agree with arseholes, let's be clear, they let arseholes on. That's fine. But we can switch off. We can choose to switch off. Not in my house. Not on my telly. Thank you. We all fuck up. Fucking up is okay. Nothing wrong with that. Where would I be without fucking up? This podcast would have no basic premise to it. But I do try to own when I'm wrong. I try. I might fuck up at that too. Then I'm cancelled. Like, has someone done the time? Like, even in real life, I really believe in second chances. If someone acknowledges what they've done is wrong, if they atone, they unpack that shit, they dig deep. Maybe they even do actual time in prison. I'm all for second chances, but I don't think that a serious transgression is an anecdote. And we're back to what I said at the start. Is the criticism legitimate? If so, that's no problem. It might be uncomfortable to realise you fucked up, but it's productive. People can be uncancelled by owning up and demonstrating change over time. If you fuck up and people criticise, that's not a witch hunt. Can't say it enough. Like, if people keep the criticism of you going for years and years and years, that's shite. That's on them. But when someone says, I went out to kill any person from a particular group because, and they believe the lesson solely to be about revenge in the abstract, that's not a witch hunt. For people to ask that person to acknowledge the element of discrimination against a particular group. But like, if we can't make our feelings known at all, nothing changes. Society protects the powerful. So what do we do? We have to say something. We don't want to jump on a bandwagon, but we have to say something. So witch hunts were innocent people having shit thrown at them as convenient scapegoats by people more powerful than them, not people who pulled a weirdie and now wish they hadn't told people about it in a giant interview for a giant film. I did this thing. That's awful. Call off this terrible witch hunt. No, that's not how it works. Don't say things like it was a social media lynch mob. It's not a lynch mob, which is a really serious thing. It's not a lynch mob to ask someone not to prop up a predator. Some people just need a dictionary. And I want to expand on this a bit. Do we all have to comment? It's important to show solidarity and all that, but do we all have to comment? Here's an opinion. Not all opinions need to be expressed. Huh? How about that? Yeah, hold your opinion. It's very important to have an opinion. We make decisions based on our opinions. But we all need to shut up sometimes. Or say, I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know. And shut the fuck up. You're not involved, Carmen. Back off. Like, can the main players involved handle this? Do they need me to chip in, really? And that's where this mad debate me culture has got us. If you don't comment on a big news story or the issue of the day, especially if you're not involved, it's spun this way or that. Maybe it's something I'm just not going to publicly comment on for all kinds of reasons. There are all kinds of reasons people don't comment if they're not directly involved. I pointed some of this out on Instagram recently and I instantly lost a few followers because it's read as preachy or judgmental. And look, that's fine. Like, if you're following me and you're vehemently anti-trans rights, let's say, it's probably best for you to head off. Like, I will miss you. I will miss you as an individual. I miss you the person, but I'm not going to debate someone else's rights. I said that. I said, why not leave? If you're anti-trans rights, there's no need to follow me. It's okay. Let's have an amnesty. Off you go. I won't take offense. But I just don't think we're compatible anymore. It's not you. It's me. I think trans people should have rights. I was told I was shutting down debate. Nope. I won't debate someone else's rights. And listening to trans people is the best way for those who are against or confused about them to learn. Not talking to me about it back and forth. Debating me is pointless to your understanding. So instead, I suggested organisations where trans voices could be heard. But that's not what debaters want. They want to distract and exhaust, and I'm not doing that anymore. I'm on to them. They're not cancelled, but and they're not even blocked. But I did do a general invitation to unfollow if people chose. Like, they fucking hate my feed anyway. So everyone wins. But when people read a plea to listen to those affected instead of the victimizer playing the victim, and they read that as preachy, I feel like that's a moment to examine our own defensiveness. Because the request is, in my opinion, it's reasonable. So what nerve is it touching in you? Why do you think I'm preaching at you? I've no control over you. I can't make you do anything, but I can say, actually, I don't think this feed is for you, and thereby stand with a group I see being victimised at the moment. And there's the other thing. People tried to whip up cancelling of me last year. They twisted words and manipulated pictures of me to do it. They tried to attach things to me to which I wasn't actually attached. They might succeed in cancelling me yet. God, you're only a couple of clicks away from your next cancellation. But when someone puts words in my mouth, say someone in a political party, and tries to whip up shit and defame me, damn right, I might want to highlight it and get some answers and maybe even an apology. No, of course not. I got what most of these guys who cry witch hunt give, a non-apology. You know those, I'm sorry if you snowflakes were offended, bullshit, non-apologies. The women in his party were sound, and I believe they were over his bullshit as well, because they were at the receiving end of it too. I believe he's back, I don't know. I'm not paying much attention to all that anymore. But what's my good name when there's a lad who might have to suffer consequences for his actions? Anyway, because I didn't want him cancelled. I just wanted sorry. I wanted an apology. I wanted him to acknowledge that what he'd done was wrong. Anyway, he's back in his job and I hope it stays fine for him. That's the thing. Does cancelling work? It doesn't really. People say, oh, don't cancel people. My God, this witch hunt. People don't lose anything. They don't lose their privileges. They might go quiet for a while, but they feel like they're entitled to come straight back. It's interesting, isn't it? So cancel away, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't seem to work. Anyway, you can cancel in your own head without ever going public. I think that's kind of nice. Like, I can't separate the artist from the art. I've still got Woody Allen DVDs on my shelf. I know, DVDs, right? What is it, 1997? The thing is, I'm not going to throw them all in the bin, but nor do I want to watch them anymore. I believe her isn't just an empty hashtag. The people who speak out are always the people who lose the most. And I can't find enjoyment in his movies anymore. So it's fine. But I'm not taking a principled stance there. It's just that I can't watch those anymore. I don't want to prop that up. God, all this is hard, isn't it? Anyway, how about trolling? How do you deal with that? Trolling when people are trying to cancel you, for instance, a swarm. One size doesn't fit all. And what's trolling? Like, don't feed the trolls doesn't work. That's been proven. And not feeding trolls isn't always appropriate. Being swarmed, a real swarm where people are targeting you in their thousands, that's very isolating. So why shouldn't you ask for backup? Again, that's not a witch hunt. That's not you asking for them to be cancelled, highlighting some injustice that's happening to you, even if it's online injustice. Go on, ask your friends for help. Just so long as you're wary of initiating a gleeful pile on someone who can't handle it. I think showing that a lot of people are piling on you is a genuine request for help. I think that's okay. Weigh it up. And we're back full circle to the usual messages of this podcast. Listen to those who are affected by what's happened, not professional pundits, not me. Broaden who you follow and read. And if someone from the affected group says, I'm okay with it, this is fine, that's perfectly valid based on their experience. But are they maybe protected in a way that the majority isn't? Like, you're always going to get someone who'll excuse bad behaviour by someone who said something against their group. Are they maybe wealthy and famous and safe? Just because they say they're okay with it or an aspect of it, it doesn't mean we shouldn't keep listening to people who are still hurting from it. We're not judge and jury. We're not judge Judy, especially if we're not the target. And bear in mind, when some say trial by social media is a bad thing, and generally it is, social media also gives some a voice who didn't have it before. So no wonder the powerful who are up to shenanigans are so against people having a voice on social media. So I'm not for censoring social media. I'm not on Twitter anymore by choice, and I won't be again because there wasn't enough response when people attacked or lied or swarmed me. I just think we should treat it like the pub or the village square or our own gaff. It's real life. It is real life. And bullshit is bullshit. I prefer no one was cancelled. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure cancelling brings us much good. It doesn't make you feel better, and it doesn't. They just put people on hiatus anyway, and then they're back, rubbing it in your face. So weigh things up, lads. Question everything. Who in the scenario has the most power? Who has the most to lose? Who's using that power to bend the story towards them as the hero? Who stands to gain? Who has the luxury of saying, oh no, that's fine? Because honestly, naming someone with more power than you usually means that you're the one who's cancelled. Name any of the abuse victims of any of the stories whirling around. I'll wait. Right. They had nothing to gain by speaking out. They've left or lost jobs for being attention seeking or too much trouble or difficult women. They've moved town. they're the ones who get cancelled. They're the real cancelled people. So when you say cancel culture with a broad sweep of the hand, and bear in mind, I am not for cancelling, is it even real when it counts? I'm not sure. If you see a horrible 10-year-old tweet, check what's been happening since. What does the person say in their work? Like, is there a half hour of racist material per hour of mother-in-law jokes? Was it a one-off slip-up? Or is it a pattern? Was it a decade ago or last week? Have they apologised? Or did they non-apologise via a PR firm for damage limitation? Do they get why people were hurt or feel threatened? Do they care? If they care, then Jesus, let's help them in their learning, like so many patient people have helped me. But first I had to acknowledge where I was, or am, still fucking up. That's where the work even starts. And just remember, it could be you. There's a hunger for the cancelling right now, so watch out. The cancel monster's out there roaming the streets. Sometimes, though, the cancel monster has a bit of a point. Anyway, here's a list of certain things that I think should be cancelled. Itches between your shoulder blades where you can't reach. Not enough to get a good old scratch. They are cancelled. Skinny fries. There's no potato there at all. What a waste of time. It's a waste of your time and mine. Ugh. Cancelled. Hangovers of more than one day. Cancelled. Pastels that make no statement at all. Cancelled. Decaffeinated drinks that are supposed to be caffeinated. Cancelled. Like, it's not coffee. It's in the name. Coffee. Cancelled. People who come out of shops and don't look right or left, but barge into foot traffic. Cancelled. More cancelled than most. Buses that vanish off the timetable yoke. Cancelled. Apparently cancelled by someone else. Cancelled, though. People who try to shift the Overton window and normalise fascism and stuff. Yeah, serious one. Cancelled. Go back to double glazing, Jeffrey. Squirrels without boundaries. Personal space, lads. I know you're up all winter because the hibernation was cancelled because of the global warming, but you're still cancelled. And people who drive up your hole on the motorway when you're already overtaking. You are cancelled. 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 With no chance of recovery. Oh, I feel a lot better now. So it's time to thank you all. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for not cancelling me so far. I'm sure it's out there. I'm sure it's in the post. But thank you for not cancelling me this week, unless it happened while I was away. Because I'm going to America. Yeah, only for a week. But I'll do a podcast about that when I come back. Thank you to Brian for producing. Thank you to the Headstuff Podcast Network. Thank you to everyone who has become a patron. I couldn't be doing this without you. And you are my lucky stars. And speaking of stars, please give us some. Please give us five. Give us a rating. Loads of people have been leaving ratings instead of becoming patrons. That's almost as good. It's in ratings world, it's better. So thank you. That you're just amazing. I'm so grateful to every listener, every share. I'm blown away by it. I'm really loving that people are coming back, getting something out of the podcast. And do send in your suggestions. It's lovely to have you here. It's time for a Flynnspiring. Don't smile. It might happen. Yeah, you know when people say, smile, it might never happen. It might. What if it does? And then you've been smiling for no reason. And that can take up a lot of facial energy when what you need is a good old scowl. Don't listen when people say that physiologically that you use more muscles frowning than smiling. We all know that's not true. Sometimes it's just easier to frown. You let your face go with gravity and just go for it. And if you're scowling in advance or frowning in advance of a bad thing happening, well, you're already halfway to sorting it out with your face. So don't smile if you don't want to. If you want to smile, smile away. I would never tell you not to smile if you fancy it. But don't smile if you don't want to, because it might happen. It probably won't. It might. Sorry about that. That's life. Thanks, fellow Egypts. See you soon.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.